Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 22. I would like to read from the verse number 41 to the end of this chapter, just a few verses. While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, "What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he?" They say unto him, "The son of David." He saith unto them, "How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool? If David then call him Lord, how is he his son?" And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Now I would like to ask a question. Why did the Lord Jesus Christ ask this question? Why did he ask the Pharisees to answer that question? He knew, probably, most probably he did know, that they were not able to answer the question. Did he tempt them, or did he test them as they were tempting him? Why would he ask that question? I think the Lord has prepared this not only for the Pharisees at that time or that period of time, but he is asking that question us today. The Pharisees used a lot of their ability, time, patience, intelligence to study the Bible in such a way as to make them holy, all-knowing people, and then that they could intimidate all the others, that nobody else is as holy, nobody else knows as much. It was necessary for their own sake, for the benefit of their souls, for the clearing of their understanding, to know their ignorance. They knew that Christ is David's son. Apparently, they could not guess how could Christ be David's Lord. Well, when we consider the facts that we get in the scripture, we could think that Abraham, if he was informed that David is going to be king in Israel, Abraham could have said, "My king is coming." Looking into the future, according to the flesh, our Lord Jesus was the son of David. According to the law, he was the son of David. According to the law, he was the son of Joseph. Joseph was a descendant of David. According to the flesh and blood, the Lord Jesus was the son of David, because Mary was also a descendant of David. So that's very simple. But knowing that Christ was going to be the Messiah, the Redeemer, the one sent from God down to this earth, to the level of humanity, David could call Christ his Lord. If we can call Christ our Lord almost 2,000 years after the Lord Jesus Christ was walking upon the face of this earth in the flesh, those that lived 2,000 and many thousand years before Christ can call him their Lord. Because Christ the Lord was not born of Mary. The child Jesus was born of Mary. Christ the Lord, the Son of God, lives forever and ever, and since ever and ever. So he is the Lord of all. Pharisees were not able to understand that, because they knew not the scripture and the power thereof. But we need to know the power of the scripture. How do we know the power of the scripture? When we read prayerfully and consider the meaning of the word of God, and then even more prayerfully we pray that the Lord would give us grace and power to live and walk in the Spirit of Christ in the light of His Word, then we are learning the power of the Scripture. And if the Lord give us that grace to walk and live according to His Word, then we know the power of the Scripture. And having learned that power by experience, we know much more and much better that this great commandment which the Lord repeated to one of the Pharisees that were gathered to question him, to test him, and to try to figure out how to accuse him. The Lord said, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." That's the first, and it's also the great commandment. But then the Lord said the second is like unto it, in its greatness perhaps, in its nature for sure. The second commandment is the commandment of love, just like the first one. Now, the Lord did not say, "Thou shalt understand thy God with all of thy mind." Our mind is way too limited to understand the Almighty God, the Creator of the universe. But even with our tiny little heart, we should be able to love God. However, to love God with all of our little heart, as little as we are, and sometimes very great in our pride, we are not able to love the Lord our God with all of our heart. But that could be our desire. I hope so. That could be our intention. But it's very important that we know that we have not accomplished that, we have not achieved that. If we could love the Lord with our whole being, we would see Him as He is. We would have that nature of which the Apostle John is writing in his first epistle. It has not been revealed yet what we shall be. We know that now we are the children of God. But we know when He is revealed as He is in His glory, and we will be enabled by Him to see Him as He is. And today, the more we learn to see Him in this Word of God, the more we learn to see Him as He is, we are moving inch by inch closer in that knowledge and in our likeness of His, to be similar to Him. We are very different, and yet we are similar. Why would the Lord ask the Pharisees, whose son is Christ? Why would He ask a question? He knew that they're not sincere. He knew that they're deceiving the others and deceiving themselves. The Lord Jesus knew their hearts. Why would He take time to ask them a question? Perhaps it was necessary to demonstrate openly before the people that Pharisees are ignorant of the deep truth of the scripture, that they are dull, close to the revelation of God's truth. They knew not what is the height and the width and the depth of that wisdom revealed in the Holy Scriptures. But I think the Lord is asking the same question us today. Do we understand the Scripture? It's important. Ignorance is a mighty weapon in the hands of our enemy. Ignorance is often a stumbling block. And if we have no desire to learn the Scripture, to know the truth of God, we are not healthy children of our Heavenly Father. In Matthew chapter 16, in verses 2 and 3, I read the Lord's speech or words to the Pharisees. When it is evening, ye say, it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. O hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but can ye not discern the signs of the times? And I wonder, is the Word of God, the teaching of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, something that I know better than anything else? Something that I study and learn more than anything else? Or are the teachings and the studies, the knowledge that I need for this short time that I'm living here in this world, more important to me? How much more do I know of my trade, my occupation, than the Word of God? And yet, without any embarrassment, I will acknowledge that the Word of God is the most important teaching of all teachings on this earth. And the Lord Jesus Christ is revealing to us how important His words are. In chapter 24, according to Matthew, in the verse 35, the Lord said, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." In the Gospel according to Luke, chapter 16, verse 17, the Lord says, "And it is easier for heaven and earth to pass than one tittle of the law to fail." The knowledge of God, the Word of God, is so important. It's vital for our spiritual life. It's the food of mind. It's the foundation for our faith. And we should understand the Scripture. And we should pray for understanding. And yet, there is something that is just important, just as much. And that is, as little as we know the Word of God, to strive to be faithful and to apply that Word in our daily walk. Only that way we can learn the true meaning of the Word of God more and more. I have been learning and studying the Word of God already 53 years. And I could say that I started from a very minimal knowledge and minimal understanding of the Word of God. But after 53 years, I am still a beginner. There is still so much more to learn, not to mention so much more to do, to fulfill, to obey, to live the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are not living nowadays in the days of severe persecution. But perhaps those that lived in continuous persecution, in suffering, in difficulties, in sicknesses, in poverty, perhaps they were given more of an ability to understand the scripture with far less studying, because they had far more experience. Since I'm not now sharing from the Psalms, I'm not going to take very much time on this Psalm 110, from which apparently the Lord was quoting the words or giving some reference to the Pharisees. But just in brief, if we look into that, we can see the revelation of the Lord's appearance to David. It's an amazing gift and blessing that our Heavenly Father is giving to His people through the millenniums, through the history of the mankind, revealing the mysteries of heaven here on this earth. Psalm 110, a psalm of David. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Rule thou in the midst of thine enemies. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power, in the beauties of holiness. From the womb of the morning thou hast the dew of thy youth. The Lord hath sworn and will not repent, thou art a priest forever after the old order of Melchizedek. The Lord at thy right hand shall strike through the kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the heathen. He shall fill the places with the dead bodies. He shall wound the heads over many countries. He shall drink of the brook in the way, therefore shall he lift up the head. It looks like the soul of David was flying, like in that song in the Zion's harp, Let me go, let me go, Lord, to me thy presence show. The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou at my right hand until I make thy enemies thy footstool. It looks like David has two lords. One Lord is the Almighty God. The other Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Pharisees knew that. When the Lord asked them whose son is Christ, they said, David's son. They must have known somehow that the Lord Jesus was that Christ. And yet, they openly and continually were opposing him, and in public, battling against him. And I wonder, when we neglect the study of God's Word, when learning the Scripture and meditating upon the Scripture is not our daily occupation, when there are so many things that are more important than knowing the will of the Lord, knowing the mysteries of the Word of God that have been revealed in the Holy Scriptures, are we in some way similar to the Pharisees? Are we hypocrites? Are we battling against the Lord? Are we somehow preventing Him from having greater, increased rulership in our heart and in our daily walk? When the disciples told to the Lord that the Pharisees have been offended by his teaching at a certain time, the Lord said, Leave them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. If we are ignorant of the Holy Scriptures, that applies to us. We must know the Bible. And we must share the Bible among ourselves. And the Bible must become meaningful to us. When we read the scriptures, it becomes the living word of God, and the portrait, the picture of our Lord Jesus Christ appears in a wonderful, clearing brightness, not as the pictures that we see made by some artists, but as that picture that John has seen in the Revelation, the living Word of God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When the four young Israelites, Jews, in Babylonian captivity, were facing the destruction, the slaughter, because they were students in the same institution where the wise men and astrologers were the teachers, the professors. And since the teachers and the professors were not able to tell the king Nebuchadnezzar his dream and the interpretation thereof, in his rage, this awful, cruel beast called King Nebuchadnezzar commanded that all of his wise men and their students be put to death, destroyed. And Daniel and his three brothers, three friends, fellow Israelites, fellow captives, prayed to the Lord God of heaven, the Lord God of Israel, that he would reveal them this secret, the dream of the king. And it was revealed to Daniel. And Daniel and his friends praised the Lord. They glorified the Lord God of their fathers. There was no time to study the Word of God. Later on, Daniel did study. Oh, I believe he studied the Word of God a lot. But at this time, they were young, perhaps young teenagers. They could not learn from the Scripture. They prayed. So the sincere and fervent prayer means so much in the life of believers. And I believe I should pray more, and I should pray more fervently, and I should study the Word of God more seriously and apply that knowledge in my daily walk more faithfully. If I do that, I know it is the grace of God and the blessing to my soul.